A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
And I am the advocate for one Paul Gallant, who is, well, I actually don't know where Paul is. However, Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass at the Master Controls, he may know where Paul Gallant is. Where in the world is Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes?
I can't give you a geographical location, but I do believe he is at one of his friend's bachelor party. And I think Paul was saying that this is this person's third bachelor party.
For the same, like, marriage? Or this is the third time he's getting married?
No, this is his third marriage.
All right, so three strikes and you're out, right? I mean,
That's what Paul is like, I can't believe we're still doing this.
My question would be, you did it once, it didn't work. Why did you ever do it again? Oh, you did it a second time, it still didn't work. How many people do you want to write checks to for the rest of your life? How many times do you want to split your earnings? Feel like that's a suboptimal decision to get married a third time. As somebody who did it once, I will tell you I will never do it twice. One time was good enough. I hope Paul is learning from all these things about this. This is probably why Paul is single. Right? Why is Paul single? Well, all his friends keep getting married multiple times and he sees how much it costs. Sean, you're a single guy. Do you ever intend on getting married?
Yeah, sure. I'm not waking up every day, like, drawing up wedding plans, but yeah, sure. I plan on getting married.
When you're 40.
Yeah. Maybe, like, in the 30s. Let's try to get it in the 30s.
All right, so the 3 days before you turn 40.
Yes.
Like, okay, that's
when
the day
I'm 39, 360 days old.
Who gets married Easter weekend?
Oh, no, it's a bachelor party on Easter weekend.
Oh, so the party is all weekend?
I guess
on
so.
Easter?
Maybe not on Easter, but...
Like, today is Good Friday. It's the, third day of Passover. This is when we're going to have the bachelor party, when most people, they're, like, home with their families, trying to get, like, a really good Easter dinner. The whole reason my son is coming home from college this weekend is not because he has days off. He doesn't. He actually had to take a test this morning, and then he's going to some convention. He just said he was going to a convention. I don't actually know what it is, but I guarantee you it revolves around video games in some manner. Before he comes home tonight, so that he could have Easter dinner and get all the home-cooked meal tomorrow. And then on Sunday, he goes right back up to school because he has class on Monday. He's literally coming home because he knows he will get home-cooked food and that there will be a gigantic bowl of candy with his name on it. Like that is all he's coming home for. Priorities.
I think this man who's getting married for the third time and having a bachelor party for the third time, I don't think he's as worried about the family dynamics of asking people to leave their families on Easter weekend.
Yeah,
I think there's a pattern that we're picking up on here.
Feel like that's kind of like disrespectful to the people that you're inviting. Hey, listen, ditch your families this weekend. Come hang out with me and let's get drunk. Guy, we could do that any weekend. Why'd you pick Easter weekend? I guess everybody who he's inviting is single, like Paul.
I'm not sure.
I would imagine if there was a significant other, they would very much put the block on the you're not going to go, gallivanting, alcoholic fueled frenzy on a holiday. If there is an non-legal significant other, so a serious girlfriend, they're still going to be like, no, we're going to see my family. You're not going off on a drunken binge. So you kind of have to be a bachelor to go off on a bachelor party the weekend of Easter. Where do they go? Like, are they in Vegas?
I don't know.
Are they in Miami? Are they somewhere where somebody's going to get locked on a roof or lose a finger or a tooth or get chased by a tiger or get shot at or locked in a trunk?
I'm not sure. I mean, wherever they're going, I think all of those things are at play. But I do not know the actual location that this bachelor party is taking place. I know it is a trip because Paul was upset about it.
He's upset there was a trip.
Yeah, because he's like, come on, dude, it's your third bachelor party. Like, I'm not going to keep shelling out money to go do this.
Ah, see, so it was an expensive trip.
Yes.
Yes, I understand that part. You know, before we came on, I was listening to John and Lance do their interview with Sonny Vaccaro. And one of the things I thought was interesting when he said, well, you know, I was a consultant on the film, but like, well, you're not going to, you know, be involved in the script or this or that or who the actors are. And I was like, all right, well, John says, Matt Damon played you. That had to be pretty cool, right? You were played by Matt Damon. And I got to thinking, Sean, who would I want to play me in a movie? And then something really horrible happened. I didn't know the answer right off the top of my head. I wanted to know the answer off the top of my head. Most of the actors that I was like, oh, I would love this guy to play me, like 20 years older than me or more, so that doesn't actually work. You know, I can't be like, yeah, I want Tom Hanks to play. Oh, wait. Yeah. He's older than my dad. Well, Michael Keaton's Batman. He's older than my dad, too. All right, I know. Robert De Niro. He's almost as old. He's older than my father. He's almost older than my grandfather. That's not going to work either. Morgan Freeman. No, wait.
That'd be great casting.
There really is a major, major issue because Morgan Freeman is definitely as old as my grandfather. Also, he played God. So it'd be a hell of a step down to go from playing God to then playing me.
If he was to play anyone who's a mere mortal, I mean, playing someone who works in radio, with that voice, I can see it.
He does have the great voice.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, who the hell would play? And I couldn't figure out who I would pick to play me. And, you know, you had mentioned James Gandolfini, unfortunately, no longer with us. Ray Liotta, no longer with us. Trying to find the person who is, like, still alive is also apparently very difficult. So we're going to throw it out there to all of you because I am a glutton for punishment, and I can't wait to see how many horrible answers that I get. Who should play me in a movie? On the text line, 713-780-3776. On the Twitch feed, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Who should play me in a movie? Obviously it's not going to be Chris Hemsworth because, you know, the whole tall, blonde hair, blue eyed thing. It doesn't exactly match up. I think Morgan Freeman would be a better fit in that regard than Chris Hemsworth. But, Sean, who would play you, Sean? Who would play you?
I'm not sure. Cause I don't know how many like 20 something year old actors are out there that can, you know, nail the emotional complexities that comes with playing me in a movie. I don't know.
You would be a very deep character.
I think it would have to be someone that is looking to win an Oscar, and the role that will win them the Oscar is playing me.
So who is the 26 to 35 year old?
Yeah, maybe it's in a few
Leonardo
years.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Who is that person?
Maybe it's like a Jake Gyllenhaal.
He has to grow his hair a little bit.
You have to grow his hair a little bit. And then, yeah. And then you can de-age him for the early parts of the movie. And hopefully, you know, I make it long enough to where he can actually just play me in a movie.
There you go. It's very easy with the, you know, modern makeup and camera shots.
Yeah.
We can just take all those wrinkles and the crow's feet, take them right out and make you look like you're a kid again. I wish they could do that in real life because, you know, as somebody who is going to hit a milestone birthday this year, I would really like to turn back about two milestone birthdays. And if I did turn back two two full milestone birthdays, I would still be older than Sean Mapes. And now I want to cry. Or drink heavily. Or both. We got two answers on the Twitch stream. Let me bounce these two off you before we hit the break, Sean. Versace says Russell Crowe.
I like it. That's not a bad one. I like that one.
And Truth says Vince Vaughn.
Oh.
I think Vince Vaughn might be hard because isn't he like 6'6"?
Yeah, that would be – that's another one where it's like, look what he's doing to inhabit this character. This man deserves an Oscar.
I mean, I don't think we could hit Vince Vaughn with the shrink ray.
Yeah. Russell Crowe, though, is a good one.
Russell Crowe is a good one because, you know, he's – as he's gotten older, he's gotten a little more rounder, well-rounded. As I got older, I got a little bit more well-rounded. And he plays smart guys. I'm a smart guy. He's kind of nerdy. I'm kind of nerdy. Once upon a time, he was an athlete. Once upon a time, I was an athlete. Russell Crowe might actually work. He's got a really cool accent. I have a really cool accent that I was forced to hide when I came to Houston because I was told by my previous employer that I wasn't allowed to have that accent. I had to nationalize the way that I sounded. But when I'm not on the radio in Houston, I have a much cooler accent. So it's possible. It's possible. That could be the winner. It could be. Somebody is going to be the odd man out for the Houston Astros. That person would be the anti-winner. And who could that person be? Because that answer, that decision is coming up probably about the end of the month. Which means that person's got about 3 weeks to convince Dusty Baker and Dana Brown that they should not be the winner of the getting demoted championship. Who is that person going to be? We'll get into it next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Patch straight in for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5. So this whole thing of like what actor would play you is kind of taken on its own life now. This wound up being a much easier exercise for Sean than it is for me because Sean came up with Kit Harington, who played Jon Snow, and that's dead spot on.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one.
He's 36, so like the right age group because you're always going to, you know, the actor's going to be a little bit older than you are when you're younger because the older actors, a high school kid is always played by someone in their 25.
Like all the kids that are, or all the actors that are actually my age played the kids in Stranger Things.
Yeah, they all play high schoolers.
So it's weird to say they should play me.
So you need somebody who's like in their 30s to play you because you're in your 20s. Kit Harington, 36, swings the sword. Can do the long hair thing. Does kind of have like similar eye structure and nose structure to you. So that would actually wound up being a pretty good one. On the text line, we got a ton of suggestions. I don't know how many of them are great, but let's go through these real quick, all right? Kevin James.
He did play Sean Payton in a movie, so he can change, but
And he's from Queens, so like not that far away from
him. Okay, yeah. I didn't think of that at ankle. Yeah, that's a good one.
So he said Jonah Hill. How tall is Jonah Hill?
Not very.
Because
I think he's like 5'7", 5'6", probably.
You know, with all of my whopping 5'9", I kind of need as much height as
I can get.
Yeah,
we could put him in some lifts or something.
Also, Jonah Hill, 39, probably too young to play me. And as nerdy as I am, he might actually be nerdier looking. But I think 39 kind of... Jack Black is one that came up multiple times.
Oh, that's a good one.
Jack Black actually was just in The Mandalorian.
I didn't see that one, but he would be good. I don't want him to have to shave his beard, though, so I think you would have to grow a similar beard to Jack Black to get him to play in the movie.
I'd be okay with that. Jack Black, 53. So, right age group. Not particularly tall. I'm not particularly tall. He's a well-rounded guy. I'm a well-rounded guy. He's very loud. I'm very loud.
Yeah, musical in nature.
These are all things like that. That actually might be a good fit. That might be a good fit. I'd have to grow my hair a little longer, but I can do that. I am capable of doing it. I have done it before. I can't play guitar as good as he can, but I mean, I could learn. Besides, he's playing me, so it'd be okay if he sucked at it. Jack Black is a pretty good one. Vincent D'Onofrio. I've met Vincent D'Onofrio. Worked on a cast with Vincent D'Onofrio once. And that dude, I mean, I think he's a tremendous actor. And if I am correct, he is a New York City guy. He's 63. He's also 6'4".
I was going to say, I feel like he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's much taller.
Although, maybe this is more of like an action flick, and so you are a little bit bigger. It's a little more physical of a role.
I don't think they make platform shoes for guys to be that much taller. Also, if I did have to wear those, I think I might break my ankle. Russell Crowe is 6 foot, which is a little taller than I am. It's about 3 inches taller than I am. Jack Black is 5'6", so I'm taller than he is. This is much harder than I thought it was going to be.
To be fair, this all comes from Sonny Vaccaro being on the bench and talking about how cool it is that Matt Damon plays him in a movie. Matt Damon looks nothing like Sonny Vaccaro. So I don't think this needs to be as – I think we're holding ourselves to a higher standard than the producers of Air.
Is it okay if he's like a few inches taller?
Yes.
Like, for example, if you saw the movie The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Okay. So Leonardo DiCaprio is 6 foot tall and looks nothing like Jordan Belfort. Jordan Belfort is – maybe officially lists himself as 5'7". He's probably more like 5'5". Jordan's a former client of mine. I know how tall he is. He's not tall. Jordan's also built a little bigger than Leo with some help from some enhancements. Leonardo DiCaprio looked nothing like Jordan Belfort. Nothing at all. So maybe it's okay if, Russell Crowe is slightly taller than I am. I think I'm okay with that.
I think Russell Crowe and Jack Black are two good ones.
No, those are good ones. I'm okay with those. I think both of those will, although, like I said, Jack Black's 3 inches shorter than I am, and I'm very protective of those 3 inches. When you have three, you do not want to lose three inches as a guy.
You worked hard for those 3 inches.
No man wants to lose 3 inches. That is going the wrong direction. That is something that could be very bad to happen. There's an answer on here on the Twitch stream that involves somebody who was once known as the Hedgehog, and I'm so not going to say that name. That person is very, very, well, gross. Did have a very unique talent.
Yeah. No, I don't think.
No.
I think I know who you're talking about.
I don't want to go that way. That is a bad decision. Now, we are coming up a few minutes. We're going to talk with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. He's going to join us in the next, 6 minutes or so. But there is going to be a decision made with the Houston Astros fairly soon, because Michael Brantley, who actually spent the first 3 games here in Houston before going back to Florida about 5 days ago to go back on his rehab assignment. Michael Brantley is, once he gets his timing down with his bat, Michael Brantley is going to be back on this team. Even if he's not ready to play the field, they're going to put Michael Brantley's bat in the lineup. They're certainly paying him like they are going to put his bat in the lineup. And when Michael Brantley's ready to hit, he's a better hitter than any of the, quote, bench guys that the Astros have. And they are hoping that Brantley is going to be ready come the end of the month. And if that means Michael Brantley is going to be, you know, DHing 4 to 5 days a week and, you know, sitting the other 2 days as Yordan would ultimately DH those other 2 days. But if Michael Brantley is going to be DHing a lot, that's going to eat up the, quote, extra at-bats that have been going to guys like Yiner Diaz or Corey Jolks or create a bigger log jam in the outfield, as you would then have Jolks and Myers and, to a lesser extent, Mauricio Dubon, who gets to play center field because, well, Dusty likes him. There's going to be a log jam of guys who play the outfield. There's not going to be enough at-bats. At some point, you have to decide, am I going to let a young player sit on the bench and just not get any at-bats? Or am I going to send them down so they get daily at-bats, they continue to grow, and when I need them later on in the season, they're sharp? Ultimately, why is Corey Lee in AAA right now? Because he needs everyday at-bats. Why is Justin Durden in AAA right now? Because he needs everyday at-bats. One of these guys is going to wind up having to go, and I think it's going to be some combination of it's either going to be Jake Myers, it's going to be Corey Jolks, or it's going to be Yiner Diaz. Yiner Diaz, in the Astros' first 7 games, has 7 at-bats. He is the number 2 prospect in your system. He has 7 at-bats. What are we doing? If Yiner Diaz, and look, Yiner Diaz is as the, quote, potential backup quarterback, if you're going to play Machete 4 out of every 5 games, 6 out of every 7 games, then there's not going to be enough at-bats for Yiner Diaz. He's not going to play first ahead of Jose Abreu, and Abreu doesn't need a lot of days off. He's not going to play left field over Yordan Alvarez, who you... He needs some days off, but when you have a day off, you're going to want somebody that's, I don't know, better in left field than Yiner Diaz. And when he gets days off, he's going to DH, and that means Yiner can't DH. And if Michael Brantley comes back, Michael Brantley's going to DH, which means those at-bats won't be available for Yiner Diaz either. It does kind of look like Yiner Diaz has a really good chance of winding up back in Sugar Land when Michael Brantley comes back, because there's not going to be any at-bats for him. And to have the number 2 prospect, 24 years old, sit on your bench and rot is idiocy. Fair or not, it looks like he's going to be the odd man out. I don't think they care if Jake Myers doesn't get at-bats. And I don't think they care if Corey Jolks doesn't get at-bats. Because Corey's 27. He's kind of a late bloomer. I don't think they're all that worried about it. But Yiner needs at-bats. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Bob Nightingale, USA Today, national MLB columnist. Joins us next.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
That's straight in for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5. Joining us right now on the HRNP listener line is longtime MLB columnist, USA Today, Sirius XM. It's our buddy Bob Nightingale. What's going on, Bob? How are you?
You're doing great. Help yourself.
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you when the sun is up. You know, usually we do this when the sun comes down. But today we had the little early edition of this. So appreciate you taking a little time joining us. I know it's very early. You probably just had breakfast and all. And I'll get your morning started by asking you about the Houston Astros. And, you know, they've been a little up and down, a little inconsistent. It's a week, so I don't think anybody should be, quote, worried about the Astros. But we have seen some inconsistencies with the back end of their rotation. It looked like the bullpen really got worked hard, and you saw the results of that. Is there a concern, or do you think there should be a concern, that the Astros bullpen could get worked a lot harder this year than it did a year ago?
It may be worked a little harder just because you don't have Verlander, you know, eating up those innings. It's a lot of younger pitchers. So I would think it would get worked, you know, somewhat harder for sure. And, you know, I was there for the, you know, opening weekend. You know, obviously they miss Altuve. And then Altuve is a, you know, perennial MVP candidate. You can't just take him out of lineup and not expect to miss anything. And no Michael Brantley either. So that's a blow. So, you know, I think if they, you know, just hang tough and, you know, toward the leader, you know, high above the leaderboard or on the leaderboard for until, you know, June when Altuve comes back. Yeah, that should still be the same Astros. I mean, Seattle Mariners, their toughest competition, has got their slow start too.
Is you know, with Altuve is going to be out for a couple of months, and Michael Brantley, they're hoping to get him back, you know, by the end of the month, maybe the start of May, and he's out in Florida working on his rehab. Is it realistic to think that Michael Brantley would be ready to play before the end of April? And if he does, are we talking about Michael Brantley DH only?
Well, I think they got to play the field some. I mean, you don't want to just tap that DH spot. So I think that the plan is for him to definitely, you know, play some during the in the outfield for sure. Yeah, I would think end of April will probably be a little premature. I would think it'd be more of a month. So, you know, if it is the end of April, maybe just the last couple of days, I think maybe, you know, on May 1st is a little bit more realistic.
In the AL West, you mentioned the Mariners also off to a slow start. They've dropped five of their first seven. Their run differential is one, which is fun because we saw them win 90 games with a negative run differential just two seasons ago. What do you expect from the Mariners this year? You know, they made a few moves in the offseason. What is your expectation, or what do you see the Mariners doing this year?
Well, you know, expect them to be a wild card team, you know, and pushing the Astros certainly harder than they did a year ago. Remember, you go back to that first round series, the one the Astros swept 3-0. It could have been 3-0 the other way. Mariners could have easily won those three games. You know, blew the game in Houston, lost the 18-inning game. I forget the other one. But yeah, I mean, it's a good team. Now they have more confidence and everything else. So I would think they'd definitely be in the playoffs.
Are either the Rangers or the Angels, are either of those teams legitimate wild card contenders to you, or do you think that best case scenario they're going to hover around 500?
I would think hover around 500. It's hard to see them, you know, knocking off, say, the Mariners for a wild card spot. You know, even if just one team comes from the AL Central, you got to think, you know, three are coming from the East in the, you know, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and Yankees. So, you know, I would think, you know, Rangers or Angels would have to win, you know, 87, 89 wins to get in. I'm not sure either team is capable of doing that. I think for the Rangers, it's just it'd be 1 year early. You know, Angels, a lot would have to go right. They'd all have to stay healthy. Rendon would have to stay healthy, you know, for the first time since he got there. And they do have some depth, but you'd have to have MVP caliber seasons by Trout and Ohtani to carry that team.
Bob Nightingale, longtime Major League Baseball columnist, USA Today, has a MLB Radio Network insider, and also has a vote for the Hall of Fame. So, you know, he's been around the block. He's been covering baseball for a very long time, pretty much for as long as I've been watching baseball. I think Bob's been covering baseball. But when you look at, you know, some of the other contenders in the American League, are the Yankees better than they were a year ago, or are they kind of the same team? What do you make of the New York Yankees?
Yeah, I think kind of the same team. I don't think any better. I really don't. You know, they've had some injuries too. So certainly not better right now. You can't lose, you know, three fifths year rotation and think you're going to be as good. You know, I think it's very possible they're only third best team in the division behind the Blue Jays and the Rays. The Rays are for real. That pitching staff is, insane right now. A lot of good young talent. And the Blue Jays, you know, we saw what they did a couple of years ago. You know, last year, you know, still a good team, but should have done better. You know, I think they're really a powerful team. And, you know, Vlad Guerrero and, you know, Bijou's son and Bichette, I mean, those guys are a tough, tough bunch.
Bob, the Twins are off to a nice start. They've only given up 11 runs in six games. Did they have enough pitching to compete with Cleveland in the Central?
They have to stay healthy. I mean, even spring training, that's what they said. They said, we got a shot, but our starting rotation has got to stay healthy because they don't have that kind of depth. They do. I still think Cleveland's the team to beat over there. They're still doing the same thing as last year, you know, winning those close games, those win-run games, those extra inning games. And it's such a young, athletic team. So, I mean, I think it's possible. I just think that they've got to stay healthy.
I know we're projecting from very early in the season towards the end of the season, but right now, do you consider the Astros still to be the best team in the American League?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no reason to think otherwise, at least right now. You know, we'll see, come the All-Star break or so. But I think on paper, still the best team. I mean, even losing, even after losing Verlander, you know, those guys can still step up. I think it'll be tougher, obviously, without Verlander. It's certainly tougher without, you know, Altuve missing all this time. But I think on paper, you still got to go with them. And, you know, but keeping a close eye, certainly on those three teams in the AL East.
Are the Braves the best team in the National League? Is it still the Dodgers? The Dodgers have lost a lot of guys. They just continue to win and pitch like champions. What is your current hierarchy in the National League?
Yeah, I go Atlanta number one again. You know, I don't think it'd be surprising anybody or shock anybody to see a repeat of 2001. You know, Atlanta, Houston once again. Atlanta just does things right. I mean, they lose Freddie Freeman, they lose Matt. I mean, they lose a Dansby Swanson. And, you know, they're still a great team. I think they're clearly the best of the NL East over the Mets in Philadelphia. NL Central, you know, I think it's, you know, still St. Louis is the division to lose with, you know, Milwaukee coming strong. In the West, you know, two-headed monster with the Dodgers and Padres. But the Dodgers aren't as good as last year. I mean, they're not going to win 111 games again. The Padres are good, but they're not great with the money they spent. That pitching isn't the pitching is good. I'll take the Astros pitching staff, sort of the rotation over the Padres any day.
But when it comes to Shohei Ohtani and his pending free agency, you know, there's got to be a line of demarcation for the Angels where they say, okay, look, we have no chance of making the postseason, or our chances of making the postseason are extremely slim. We need to get something in return for Shohei Ohtani if we're not going to sign him for what might be $500 million or more. Do you think Shohei Ohtani gets traded, and is there a line in the sand for the Angels where, let's say, they're – you know, X games under 500 or X games out of the division or X games out of the wild card. Is there a line of demarcation where they finally have to kind of accept the grim future and say, we need to get as much return and build our team as best we can?
I think, man, it's a great line of demarcation as far as how many games out in the wild card race. I mean, they got to be really out of it, to trade him away. Yeah, one thing, you know, even one, you trade him away, you really alienate your fan base. Two, he still makes you a lot of money. I mean, the guy makes you, the Angels, I think, about $20 million a year. So, you know, you trade him, you're going to lose, $10 million right there. So, I think they end up keeping him. I think the Angels hang around just enough to keep him. And, at various points during the summer, I'm sure they're going to say, is there any chance he'll stay? You know, what would it take to keep you here in free agency? But, you know, certainly looks like he's in free agency, and, all signs still remain that he'll stay out west. If it's not the Dodgers, it's the Padres, and not the Padres, either San Francisco or Seattle. Remember now, when he first came over, it was only NL West or AL West teams. The only team outside either division. With the Chicago Cubs, the Cubs are kind of the sleeper pick, but that's about it. I do not see him going to New York.
How big is the number going to be?
Oh, I think at least $500 million, at least. Wouldn't shock me if it was $600 million. Just the fact he does two ways. And, I mean, he means so much for, you know, endorsements, licensing, and everything else. I mean, a massive crowd draw. And, you know, so, you know, those jerseys, getting rich that way, just having him around. So, I mean, you wonder how long he'll keep on doing it. You know, how long can he stay healthy? He'll still be a great pitcher and a hitter. But I would think, you know, already we're seeing Scherzer and Verlander making $43 million a year. And certainly he's got to be over 50. And those guys are making 43.
Could the Padres write another check like that?
Yeah, they could. I mean, everyone wonders how they're doing it. And they're losing money. They lost about $55 million last year. Project to lose over $100 million this year. But the owner says, you know what? It's just money. I want to leave a World Series in my legacy. So I'll do what it takes. But, yeah, I mean, who thought they'd, we already got one in Southern right field. Who thought they'd be the high bidder for Aaron Judge as well? The high bidder for Trey Turner. So, yeah, I definitely think they'll be right there in the hunt for him.
I want to be so rich that I can throw away $100 million and say it's just money.
Yeah, I mean, the small market, the 30th biggest market in baseball, or in the country, I should say. I think the third smallest in baseball behind only the Brewers and Cincinnati. And, obviously the volume of the franchise is going up. They're selling every game. But they're kind of trapped. I mean, you know, there's nowhere to go market size. I mean, you got the Pacific Ocean to the west, the desert to the east, Mexico to the south, and L.A. up north. There's nowhere to grow, really.
Longtime baseball columnist, baseball insider Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB Radio Network, with us on the HRNP guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at B Nightingale. Bob, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us today. We'll catch up soon, buddy.
All right, look forward to it. Take care, Patrick.
All right, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, with us on the HRNP guest line. Coming up next, well, it's time for a 10-minute drill. We got to stay true to the Pauly G format.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, time for the 10-minute drill. Paul's not here, but 10-minute drill is... We start off with the cheetah running out of town.
How many more years do you think you can play, do you want to play?
I'm going for 10, man. I'm going to finish out this contract with the Dolphins, man, and then I'm going to call it quits. You know, I want to go into the business side, you know.
You want to be in the coaching too, right?
Yeah, but not for long, though. Like, I want to do so many things in my life, bro.
You want to come back and help us coach me and Gary high school football?
Can I bring my boys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I will bring the little cheetahs.
So what's your number one after football business idea or kind of goal after football?
So I really want to get into like the gaming space. Like I really want to get huge in that, and that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm using my platform, creating the gaming team, which isn't launched yet. It should launch by the end of this month. And yeah, I'm just gonna sign.
Is it Soul Runner?
Yeah, Soul Runner Gaming. I'm gonna just sign like different content creators, different athletes, you know, and yeah, I just been working at talking to different sponsors.
Remember when the kids who played video games were all made fun of as geeks and nerds and losers? You know, the athletes would make fun of them. Well, here's one of the best athletes in the NFL, and he's going to potentially retire early, like age 31, essentially still in his prime, so that he can get involved in the gaming space. You know what? I feel like this is what the empowerment of the athlete should be, that they can retire early and have enough money to do what they want. Sean, when you retire from radio as a rich guy at 31,
yeah.
Are you getting into the gaming space?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. 100%. I think even if I don't retire at 31, I think I'm just going to be in the gaming space at 31.
What is your current game of choice?
MLB The Show.
So you're in the show. Do you do the whole online competitive playing against other people type thing?
A little bit. But I do like to just come home after a long day at the radio station, just sock dingers. So I will just play like on easy mode or whatever and just hit 50 home runs.
So you and the kid from the Little League World Series. I hit dingers!
Yes. That is me, except credit to him, he hits them in real life. I play a video game to hit them.
Well, his were only 200 feet. Can you hit a 200-foot homer?
I don't know. I haven't tried in years, so maybe. I hope so.
I hope you can hit a 200-foot homer.
Yeah, 200-foot I got.
All right, the New York Jets, the J-E-S-T. They have finally gotten themselves a former Green Bay quarterback. His name is not Aaron Rodgers. No. They signed one of Aaron Rodgers' former backups, Tim Boyle. And the internets got very excited that Tim Boyle played last year in Chicago, reunited with Nathaniel Hackett, where he played a couple of years. Is Tim Boyle the final thing that gets Aaron Rodgers to New York, Sean Mapes?
It's got to, right? Are we far enough down the demands list for Aaron Rodgers that it's like, okay, you brought in like the third string quarterback. Okay, now we're ready to make the Aaron Rodgers thing happen. I don't know. I do like the idea that like he's just there to teach the Nathaniel Hackett offense to the rest of the players. Like, they're not going to have Aaron Rodgers to teach the Nathaniel Hackett offense to the rest of the play. Like, how many people teaching the offensive coordinator's offense do you need underneath the offensive coordinator?
Well, you know, it does seem like Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't like all OTAs, and Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't like training camp, is not going to do anything early with the team because Aaron Rodgers is really only concerned with one person. It's not you. So they had to get somebody who knows the offense, who could quarterback the offense during the offseason to help get everybody else ready. And it is possible because once upon a time, you know, Aaron Rodgers did say nice things about Tim Boyle. He may have been on the list. Do you think that there are any more people who could be on the list, Sean Mays?
Surely there's like a former Green Bay Packer towelboy or water boy that Aaron Rodgers really saw a connection with, not just, you know, on this human plane, but on the spiritual plane that I'm sure they, as souls, they really connected.
You think he'd get Blue of Earth signed up as like a counselor? Or?
Yeah, I'm sure they can get her a job somewhere.
Character coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Jets. Surely there's a place for a witch in the Jets payroll.
Personal masseuse?
Well, they'll outbid the Browns for that one.
In one of the quietest firings of all time, John Elway, no longer part of the Denver Broncos. Turned out his contract expired on March 15th. And the new owners told him, thank you for your service. We wish you well in your future endeavors. John Elway, whose claim to fame was he signed Peyton Manning and then never found another quarterback before or after. Is this a good thing for the Broncos, or is it a shame they're letting their legendary player showing him the door without any grace whatsoever?
I think it's an understandable thing that, I mean, hey, I think the late Pat Bowlen hooked him up with the job because they had a connection. He helped him win two Super Bowls. But this is the Walton family. They're like, yeah, we don't care about that. Like, get out of here. You're not taking a paycheck from us just to be a crappy talent evaluator just because you won Super Bowls for the last guy. That's the last guy. We're trying to win Super Bowls right now.
Very much. They basically just gave him an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, we don't...
Sent him packing.
Oh, 1997 World Super Bowl. Okay, don't care.
You know what? There was an Orange Crutch defense one time and, well...
Yeah, how many of those guys you see taking paychecks?
You know, we don't have Terrell Davis walking around here. We don't have Peyton Manning walking around here. If they could get Peyton Manning, I bet they would try to get Peyton Manning.
Because he's at least closer to the, you know, the success of the Browns. We're not going 30, 25 years in the past.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Sean, imagine this. You have an all-pro MVP quarterback.
Ooh, I like that.
But you don't want to pay him.
Okay.
So, even though he was essentially still a member of your team.
Yeah.
You're going to burn a first-round pick on another quarterback.
I would not love that if that was me. I would do a couple of those steps differently.
Baltimore Ravens fans must be very happy that their general manager, Eric DaCosta, said they could be taking a quarterback in the first round because of the uncertainty around Lamar Jackson.
Hey, so Baltimore, sorry about Lamar Jackson, but I hope as a city we can all rally behind Hendon Hooker.
Imagine you have an MVP All-Pro quarterback, but you got cold feet on committing to him. Your options are Tyler Huntley, Anthony Brown, or, you know, a mid to late first round quarterback. But you have Lamar Jackson, who is your whole offense. I feel like the Ravens might hate their own fans. That to me is, it would be like similar to the Texans not taking a quarterback at two because, well, they'd rather take a lesser quarterback somewhere else in the draft. We've got a great quarterback, but we're going to get rid of him for a lesser quarterback in the draft. The Baltimore Ravens. They are so great. They are such geniuses. They are going to make everyone hate them. That is the 10-minute drill. Coming up next, your Houston Astros. They get ready to open up a 3-game set in Minnesota against Carlos Correa and the Twinkies, and we'll get to that next.
This is ESPN 97.5.